Welcome to the Product Makers Podcast, where we interview and have open conversations with product makers and leaders from both large enterprises and startups about their experiences in growing successful products, teams, and companies around the world. I'm your host, Adam Davis from Product Board. Today, my guest is Janine Franskowiak. Janine is an independent product manager with 10 years experience in building digital products and leading teams. She's gained her experience from various industries such as e-commerce, retail, health tech, martech, and consultancy with a focus on user-facing experiences. Today in this episode, we discuss what an independent product manager is and how to get into it, navigating working with founders, what's great about it, but also why it's so challenging, ways to ramp up for a new product manager when you're just getting started, and how you can quickly gain trust and build relationships as a PM or starting in a new role. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. Hey, Janine, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, good morning. My pleasure. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome to have you. So whereabouts are you right now?
I'm based in Denmark, Copenhagen. I'm German originally, but I moved to Copenhagen 5 years ago, a bit over 5 years ago already.
So you're an independent product manager. For listeners that don't know what an independent product manager is, can you tell us a little bit about what the role entails?
Yes, absolutely. So essentially, it is offering product management as a service. I'm working with companies, especially startups or scale-ups that are looking for product management competences. And sometimes they're in a state where they either cannot fill a full-time role or they need to scale very fast. So this is when I come in, helping them to build up the team and bringing in some competences. You could also imagine like working with me on a specific project. Right now I'm with a company where I'm doing product discovery in the German market. So yeah, they just needed some native speaking German to help them during product discovery. So this is what I'm doing.
So is it when a company of a specific size needs like certain product management capabilities, that's kind of when you'll jump in and help out?
Absolutely, yes. And I do everything from product discovery, but also like delivery work, defining processes, setting the standard, helping with the hiring process, something like this.
Brilliant. All right. Well, for listeners, we're going to be jumping into a few topics around what is 0-1 product management. We're going to talk a little bit about product discovery and user research. Mm-hmm. But before we get into the meaty topics, as always, we're going to do a quick fire round, which we do with all our guests. So what I'm going to do, Janine, is I'm going to ask you a few quick questions, nothing too serious. And yeah, love to hear your answers. Does that sound okay?
Shoot. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm. First one, what is your favorite beverage? Now, it can be anything. Doesn't need to be alcoholic. What's your favorite beverage?
So for me, it's really the San Pellegrino lemonade. It's just really a good lemonade, quite sparkling. And I love it. It is wonderful all year long. So this is my favorite beverage.
Yeah, I love it. It's refreshing as well.
Yeah.
All right. What is your favorite travel destination and why?
Yeah, I love going to Portugal. It's one of my favorite destinations here in Europe. I love Lisbon and Porto. They are amazing cities. They have so much to offer. The food is great. Also, when you go outside the cities, the landscape is great. It's a surface paradise. Yeah. And the price level is also quite decent. I love going there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot, especially if you want to try and escape the European winter.
It's so great in winter. Oh my God, like 15 degrees in December. I love it.
Yeah. All right. So perhaps while you're sitting on the beach there or chilling by the pool, what's your favorite product at the moment? Could be anything.
Yeah, I really thought about this question for a while. And right now it's the LV pump product. So it's a femtech product. And I think in general, like femtech is really underrepresented. But why is it my favorite product? Because it solves a problem of like breastfeeding moms wanting to work, want to have some free time. And what I also like about it is that they have the hardware product and the software part as well. So they really have a smart software integrated.
Interesting. Yes. Smarter technology for women, LV training.
Exactly. LV. Yeah. And I really love what they do. They're so targeted towards women and females. And it's one of my favorite products.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you, this is going to be an interesting one for you because you must work with so many different types of companies. What's one overhyped product topic that's going around at the moment?
It's a safe space. I don't say anything, but for me, it's really product-led growth. That's a topic that's really overhyped, in my opinion. I know everyone talks about it. Everyone wants it. But in my opinion, it's not a strategy for every company and or for every product. So this is what I really feel like it's too hyped. My opinion, product-led growth works when the users can almost self-onboard and they can see a clear value of involving other users. And sometimes this is not a strategy for every product. That's why I feel like it's a bit overhyped.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What's one thing that you've changed recently in how you approach your work that's made a real difference? Like what's kind of really made a big change in terms of how you approach your work?
Yeah, so I started to ask myself, could I have achieved the same results with less effort? Because I'm the type of person, I'm putting a lot of effort in it. I want to do a good job and I want to deliver great results. But sometimes this really leads to overthinking and also on my end, a bit of stress and worrying too much. And then when I created an output, then I really sometimes ask, okay, could I have achieved the same result with less stress and less effort? And for me, the difference is really that I get a bit more headspace and less pressure on myself.
No, that makes a ton of sense. I think as product makers, we're constantly fighting fires, figuring out what to prioritize.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spreading ourselves. Then is there any like technique, like do you on a Friday morning have a coffee for an hour and think about what you delivered recently and how you could have done it differently, or how do you approach it? Is it just how you're thinking about it, or do you have like a tactic?
That's a good one. I think it comes up end of the week or when I just delivered something. So let's say I just prepared a workshop, I prepared a slide deck, did a presentation, or maybe I delivered something and then I really stop and ask myself, okay, could I have done less and get the same result? So trying to reflect a bit on it. I usually also have Thursdays that I have a bit more time to reflect on my work and what I'm doing. And this is where those topics come up.
Nice. Yeah. At Product Board, we have a no meeting Wednesday. So I do find that a good time to kind of reset and reflect a little bit. Awesome. All right. Last one in the quick fire. What's your advice to having a successful career? I love asking this one. There's no right or wrong answer.
True, because it really depends on what you are defining as like is successful as an individual. For me, it is about stop chasing titles and really go after what you're interested in and where happiness is flowing and areas that you want to explore. What I often see, especially here in, I don't know, in the Nordics, but I really see folks coming from university jumping into their first head of role. And I just wonder, okay, why are you going there? Do you really want to be manager and only want to focus on people management? Or why are titles so important to us? Could we create a way where titles are less important and you're just really trying to learn and move towards your own interests and then become really good at it? I think this is a definition of success for me, creating my own career, going after what I really like and love.
Yeah, I love it. Less chasing titles and doing more what kind of sparks interest in you. Over the last year or so, I've been working with some really great leaders and I asked, when should I do it? And the answer I've been getting recently is when you're inspired to do it. But it makes such a difference if you're inspired about it. You create the space. You want to learn a little bit more about the topic that you're focusing on. It could be a whole podcast in itself. But
yeah, awesome. I agree.
Great. Thanks for going through the quick fire. So let's dive straight into it. I think one of the things I'm really curious about, and perhaps our listeners are as well, is how did you get into product management, and then what motivated you to then go independent? Like what was that shift? What happened?
Yeah, so I have a creative background. So I also studied design at one point. And that was, I don't know how long it is in the past, but this is where I started off. But before going into product management, I had a couple of non-tech roles working in e-commerce, for example, and then moving towards tech and then towards product. So I worked in e-commerce for quite a while. I moved to Denmark and started off as a consultant in the MarTech space. And then I realized at one point working on the client, so I'm doing a lot of things a product manager would do. And I became more and more interested in also the tech space. And I loved working with tech people together. I think the fact a lot of interest coming back to my advice, right? And I decided, okay, let's go dig deeper into this world. And I got my first product role. This was in a corporate consumer goods. I figured out, okay, corporate world doesn't really fit my character. And I wanted to move back towards the scale-up startup space. And I had a couple of roles there, being the first product manager or one of the first hires there as well. And then motivation to go independent is really, for me, continuous learning. I like to explore bits and pieces here and there. I want to jump into different topics. And sometimes you're not always allowed to do that when you are in a company. You cannot always jump around and now I'm doing this, now I want to do this. So the motivation here is really to have the flexibility to get to know a lot of different businesses, working in B2C, B2B, but also to level up my product skills. Because when you get to know different businesses and product, you also learn way more and way faster as if you would stay in one place for a very long time. So this is like main motivation. But then also, I think being independent is also some kind of risk mitigation, because in the startup world, there's a risk that the startup might fail. So by being independent, I'm owning the risk because I'm having my own business and I know, okay, it's on me to get my clients in. So yeah, this is my main motivation.
Awesome. And what was it about the corporate world? Was it just too, I guess you spoke a little bit about it, but was it just like too structured? You weren't able to work on different areas of product management? Or like, what was it about that kind of rigid environment that you didn't love?
I think we will touch later on this topic as well, but there are two aspects. So for me, in the corporate world, there was a lot of stakeholder management and politics to a level that I was like not enjoying. So navigating through politics was extremely challenging for me, but also in a corporate being, a PM in a corporate sometimes mean that you don't get the mandate to do product management. So I figured that wasn't for me.
That makes a lot of sense. So one of the areas you mentioned that you were passionate about was this kind of 0-to-1 product management. I guess for myself and the listeners, like what does that mean? And then also, why did you choose that specific area of product management that you were passionate about and you wanted to go after?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does it mean, right? 0-to-1. It means essentially building a product from the scratch towards launch. You are in a green field, nothing is there, and you have to set the standard on the how do you drive product management and what does it mean to be a product manager in this area, but then also building the specific product. So I think why it's so interesting for me is because I get to do everything and then there's so I'm able to wear so many hats. And I, again, going back to, I want to do bits and pieces here and there, and I enjoy exploring the unknown and really creating this impact. So this is why this area is very interesting for me.
Yeah, it sounds pretty, from my experience doing any kind of 0-to-1 products, it's challenging. Like there's differences in terms of like creating a 0-to-1 product if it's for pre-PMF, product market fit, in terms of the companies just getting started, or even doing 0-to-1 type products in a company. I spent a long time at Hootsuite and working on their new inbox, and doing 0-to-1 there was certainly challenging.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think are some of those kind of, I don't know, main rewards or challenges in terms of working in that specific area? And I guess the listeners would perhaps be interested in terms of them working in a larger company or a smaller one, want to transition more into that. Yeah, what are some of those rewards or challenges for you?
So rewards are definitely you're able to shape the business to a great extent, right? You're creating the impact and you also have a lot of influence in your role. Then it's really exciting to be in an early state startup or at a point where you can create something from the scratch. So you are able to celebrate a lot of milestones and achievements, even tiny achievements, right? And usually there's a great energy flow also in the team. So everyone is really excited. Everyone wants to do something, wants to create an impact. And then the personal reward for me is, again, continuous learning experience. So a lot of things are happening all the time at a fast pace. No day looks like the other day. So these are the main rewards for me. And then when it comes to challenges, I think uncertainty, constant change. So I think when you want to go into the space, then it's about being in this constant change. And another challenge is also working with founders. You have a different layer of stakeholder management. Usually you are the product manager that is working with the founder directly. So that is a great challenge sometimes. And then again, wearing many hats can be overwhelming. So you have to be able to prioritize your time and impact, right? And then the ultimate goal is, of course, going to product market fit fast. And I think this is the greatest challenge of all.
One thing I'm curious about, and in my experience, it's quite challenging to define what success looks like in 0 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're creating something from scratch for a new company or inside an existing business. Like what's your mental model, or like how do you think about defining success when you're building this kind of 0 to 1 type mm-hmm. product?
It's so hard because I'm thinking about it. I want to make me as a product manager, I'm having success if I'm able to raise the company to a state where the company can have success or where the founders can have success. And this can look very different, of course, like depending on what is the goal for the company. But if it's about sometimes launching a beta version of a product, then not only delivering this version, but really getting some users to test or beta users in and identifying, okay, there's some interest from the user side. So this is how success would look like. And then also ultimate goal, product market fit, is to validate, are we targeting the right users, the right customer profile, and what are the pain points? And here success would look like identifying those pain points for a specific profile. This could also be a level of success.
That makes a lot of sense. We had a podcast recently where we spoke a lot about quality of products and what it means to ship quality products and perhaps delaying. And that kind of goes against my ethos in terms of speed trumping ideas. Like the faster you go, the more ideas you get, the more you can validate what you're building. Like what are your thoughts on kind of getting something out quickly and learning from it versus spending a little bit more time?
Yeah, that's the question of when have we done enough discovery, right? Because you could go on forever and discover forever and discover more ideas and more opportunities. So I think it's hard to find the balance. I don't think there's a right answer to everything. I'm usually a big fan of building something and getting it out very fast. But obviously, this also comes to a cost. What I'm trying to do in the discovery process is to validate the main pain points. Once we are clear there, we can go into solution space and validate those on prototypes, right? Could be like a Figma design prototype. And once we have some indication of, this is something that seems to be valuable, so our confidence raises, then we can actually build something and build the first version of it and see how it lands. So pace is definitely something that you have to consider, right? But of course, you have to feel confident to some extent. Okay, yes, we have validated some of those ideas and we feel confident that this is something the target user would like. Very abstract. Yeah, I think you really have to discuss this point from time to time. So it depends on the company, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. And I like the way you spoke about confidence. There's this tool that I've used before. It's by Itamar Galad. Absolutely love a lot of his things. And he talks about this confidence meter where over time, it's like you have this like self-conviction, you might have some thematic support in terms of like what you're doing kind of builds towards your vision or your strategy. Mm-hmm. You might have other people's opinion, which means you've got very low confidence. You might have anecdotal evidence, or you might have like user or customer evidence. So I don't know, supported by prototypes and that type of stuff. And that's where it's quite cool in the confidence meter. It's like a medium to low, medium, and then high is when you actually have launch data. So you've got stuff out there that people want to learn.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would probably, when my confidence is like at medium level, I think this is the point where you can just start building something and get it out fast. Yeah.
I completely agree. So one thing I'd be curious to get your thoughts on is, and this is for, I guess, some of our listeners in terms of folks that might work for larger enterprise customers or what are also commonly known as kind of digital transformation type companies, where they're going through this shift to moving to more kind of product led. Like, do you think there's some similarities in being a 0-1 product manager with someone that might want to transition their role from being a project manager into a product manager, from more of a traditional role? Like, are there any kind of similarities there in terms of the steps they might go through?
Yeah, so absolutely. When I just compare the company type, so you just mentioned like a corporate being in kind of transformation state, it's like what they have in common with also with startups is you as a PM, you have to set the standard. So often in a big corporate company, they don't know what product management is. It's very new to them, especially if you are having this whole project management setup, then product seems to be, is very new. And you are the one that have to educate people and folks around what is product manager? What are we doing here? So this is something I think startup and corporate would have in common. And then also I think the stakeholder management layer is quite similar, because it can happen in a corporate that the stakeholder management part is quite heavy and you have a lot of stakeholders you have to involve and you have to keep informed and you have to collaborate with. But the same is also in a smaller company, in a startup, where you also work in smaller teams, but you have still a lot of stakeholder to manage to really get the mandate. So this part, I think, is like what they would have in common. It's probably the pace. So in a corporate world, the pace is often slower, but you can also win if you show fast results. So if you are able in a slow corporate to show fast results, you're going to succeed. Everyone will love you. And then I would say for both types of company, the same arguments like are valuable. You have to prioritize area where you can create impact fast. And you also have to be okay that there are other sidetracks. Yeah, that are also working on the same stuff as you do. And sometimes you also have to be okay with shipping a feature without doing proper discovery, just because this is what is expected of you. I think the main difference is in the decision-making process. This is only my experience, but being a PM in a bigger corporate, I often felt like I don't really have the mandate, or there are others who would make the decision for me. So this might be a difference. And then I also experienced that it's sometimes hard to get access to users or to data, to customers. So this is something you might need to be aware of, like, how can I create my own evidence? How do I get to speak to users? Where is the data? How can I get it? Yes, especially as a project manager, if you want to move towards product, you might be really good in stakeholder management already, but then build up your evidence and collect the data. I think this would be my advice.
Yeah, I think you're spot on in terms of it just can be challenging in terms of gaining access to users and getting that feedback in terms of, I don't know, legacy systems that are in place, the process internally. Like, I think from my experience, it's the intention's there in terms of wanting to build the right product, but it can just be, if you work in a large organization, it can be just challenging to reach out to customers. So finding ways to kind of navigate that to kind of build better product outcomes.
Absolutely. And it can take a lot of time. So I think if you are patient, that's a good attribute.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, one thing I'd love to dig into a little bit more is you mentioned, especially within kind of larger organizations, like this stakeholder management layer and being able to deal with different stakeholders and navigate that and have the right conversations. I'd love to know your experience working with founders, because I'd imagine there's perhaps some similarities there in terms of PMs working at different types of organizations. But how do you navigate working with founders? Because they're not the easiest to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, you're on their payroll. So there's some power dynamics, right? But working with founders, I mean, it can be so great because they have this vision, they have these ideas, they have a lot in mind, and they're usually quite energizing to work with because they pop up like, now I have this idea, now I have this idea. So it's great to work with them. They're super engaged, highly engaged, and they want the company to succeed, right? I remember having a conversation with, also a former colleague about this, and he mentioned that the PM and a startup would be competing with founders. And I found this interesting because I wouldn't see it, I'm competing with them. It's more like I want to make them successful. I want to collaborate with them so the company is like becoming successful, right? So having this competition mindset might be a bit off. I don't think you can compete with the founder. Again, you're on their payroll, so they will pay you. And if they don't like you, you're gone. So it's really about like collaboration again, and how to make them successful. And the easiest way to make them successful is help them with their problem, understand their problems, what are they trying to achieve, and don't be a problem them. So sounds easy. I know it's hard in the practice, but really try to understand, okay, what are they trying to achieve, and help them figuring out, okay, what are the priorities, what is the strategy, by asking the right questions, and then bring in your product knowledge and sense. And the most important part is gaining their trust. So you don't want to bullshit, or you really want to be creating a genuine relationship with them so they can trust you and you will get the mandate over time. Then one part is also, it's very important that you move fast and deliver results. This is why you have to prioritize your time wisely, prioritize wisely where you want to spend your energy on. I know sometimes founders come up with a lot of different ideas and you feel like, oh, I have to act on all of them. But you don't. They sometimes just want to bounce ideas, and you can be a soundboard for that. But important is that you are able to prioritize where to spend your energy, and you should prioritize the area where you can create impact fast. Yes, and then here again, be okay if there's a sidetrack. So sometimes you as a only PM, it's a heavy lifting work and you cannot lift it all. So it'd be okay if there are other people doing also a bit of product work here and there. Just focus and help them to enable doing proper discovery, help them by setting the standard and guide them a little bit. Then one thing that always helped me when collaborating with founders and leaders is bringing the data into the room. Founders are often the SMEs, subject matter experts. They know a lot about their area because they are founding their business in this area. So you will hear a lot about, yeah, but I know this. And when I did my research, it was that. And so to have a conversation on eye level, on the same level, make sure you have your data. So this is why I think product discovery, talking to users, or if you are market fit and don't have any users, do audience interviews so you can bring some kind of leverage into the room.
I was actually just going to ask that, so I'm glad you brought it up. One thing I've certainly struggled with, and I know a lot of folks do when they join even just new product companies, is gaining that trust quickly, making sure that you're focusing on the right things. And it can take a while to ramp up, but I feel like gone are the days of you have 3 months to get up to speed and make sure. Maybe some companies still do that, but what I'm hearing anyway is that's kind of gone out the window, and it's you need to get up to speed as quickly as possible and start adding value. How do you approach when you're joining a new company, like quickly getting up to speed, gaining confidence? So you mentioned some things around speaking with customers, doing a little bit of discovery, but what are some, I guess, tactics that you've used to quickly get to know people, get up to speed, and get the ball rolling?
Yeah. So what I always try is when I join a new company and also now being independent, right? I'm joining, being the new person in the room more often, trying to listening in. Okay, what are their problems? And then always bringing some input on, hey, you could solve it like this. Start from day one, bringing in some ideas on how they could approach something, how they could solve the problem. So this is a way also to, first of all, build up trust, but also to get to know people, because then you can have a conversation around this topic. If someone says, yeah, oh, I don't know how to reach my target audience, then you can just bounce some ideas and have a tiny, tiny brainstorm, 5-minute brainstorm. And then this is how you get to know the other person, and you're already starting to create value, right? So this is how I approach it. And then I also always be very open from the beginning, starting to have conversations with a lot of different people throughout the company, to really understand their point of view on the strategy, on the company, on the direction, where they are. And that's how I would do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think what I've learned over time is the sooner you can have honest conversations with either your manager or folks that report to you, the easier it is. And like, the sooner, for me, I also invest a lot of time in just understanding who they are personally. Like even just some basic stuff in terms of where do they live, what do they do, you know, what makes them happy? Because at the end of the day, it's just a job. And if you can kind of understand them at that personal level, it makes a big difference. But I always find, and I know I made this mistake earlier in my career, I wouldn't question things enough right at the beginning. And I know everyone's like, you need to question early, you need to make sure you ask the right questions. But you're generally, especially early in your career, a little bit more nervous about that. But if you can do it straight away, it makes such a difference. And then you can have that open and honest conversation with your manager or the CEO. And I feel like that just paves a much smoother working relationship, and then ultimately, hopefully, your impact as well.
Yeah. I think this is, it's a very, very good point. And sometimes we folks are trying to hold back and, oh, I shouldn't question this. Maybe being a tiny bit shy to ask the hard question, but you can do it really in a curious way to really create this, okay, I want to understand what's happening here. So can you explain me this? Then you approach the conversation in a very curious way. And usually people like to answer that, right? Yeah, absolutely right.
All right, so we're almost at time now, but I'd love to know, what's your advice for someone that would be starting in a role as a 0-to-1 product manager?
Yeah, I think my main advice is focus on talking to users every week, because again, your goal is to get the company, get the product to product market fit. If you don't talk to users, you won't get there. So this is my main advice. Again, you can leverage your arguments with user interviews, creating some kind of data, and build a trustful relationship to the CEO. Yes, and then the last advice is also be easy to work with, because it's so much more fun with working with people that are easy to work with, that are approachable, that are just nice and fun to work with. So be this kind of person everyone wants to talk to, and that is fun to work with. So this is my advice.
I always say, well, actually a manager of mine, one of my first managers, was always like, it's just a website. You can't take it too seriously, and you need to be a good person. So that's always stuck with me.
That's so true. Yep.
That's great advice. So I guess depending on when the listeners are actually listening to this, we have a talk with you coming up. So we're lucky to have Janine back with us. And we talked about kind of trying a workshop format. I guess based on what we've spoken about today, what would you like to focus on in the workshop?
Yeah, I know that we thought about this topic like many times already. I did, but I know. So now I said my advice is talk to users every week. So I think we should try a workshop format where we focus on some kind of hands-on advice for product discovery in a pre-product market fit world. And also we might touch on how to talk to users when you don't have some.
That's so always a thing, probably, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be the focus.
Brilliant. So folks listening in, depending on when you're hearing this, this might be coming up in a few weeks, or you might be able to catch a recording on it as well on our website. So Janine, thanks for being on the podcast today. Really appreciate you being here. Hope you had fun.
I did, certainly. Thanks so much for inviting. Great talk.
So where can listeners find you if they want to reach out?
They can find me on LinkedIn, but they can also find me in your product board community on Slack. I'm there.
Awesome. And one final one. This is a bit of an interesting one to end with, but how could listeners help you? Is there any topics you're interested in? Anything you want to learn, connect with?
That's a good one. I think what I'm always interested in is, getting some new ideas about and frameworks. So I would love to, I'm a big fan of like collecting frameworks and getting some new ideas. But I'm also curious to know, now you heard about me talking how it is to be a product manager in a corporate world, and my experience might be different than yours. So I would love to hear, what is your experience working in a corporate world as a product manager? So this would be something I'm very curious about.
Brilliant. All right, folks, reach out to Janine on that one. All right, Janine, thank you very much and have a great rest of the week.
You too. Thank you.